it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single pocket-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4.something Michael O'Neill, and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 4.0 to Pro, your pocket-sized pickleball podcast, where we teach you a single shot or strategy every single episode. I'm Michael O'Neill here in Long Beach, California, joined by my good pal at Boulder Pickleball in Boulder, Colorado, Scott Fliegelman. Hello, Scott.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. It's sunny, it's delightful. My right hip's a little sore from a lot of pickleball this week, so I'm taking today off. But here we are doing the show, and we're going to talk about something very controversial today. And I'm looking forward to getting into it with you.
I'm down for some controversy.
Scott, before we start, I want to give a quick shout out to Montis, M-O-N-T-I-S, Montis Pickleball, who sent me a pair of their shoes, the Drop 1.0. A few months ago, actually, I was in Denver and somebody else had them. I said, what are those shoes? They look kind of cool. And this is like Brothers in, I want to say they're in Utah. And they sent me a pair of shoes. And I got to say, after like a year of wearing Skechers, who kept breaking on me, like I kept ripping the top of the outer on my Skechers, these things have been like the best pickleball shoe I've ever had. They're so stable and they've held up really, really well. And they feel great. So definitely check out Montis, M-O-N-T-I-S, Pickleball, guys. That's a completely, by the way, unsponsored ad because I think they just make a great pair of shoes. So go grab some.
In less exciting news, I did want to share with our listeners, a partner of mine I played dozens of tournaments with, Brent Waiwaiole, goes by YY, got some pretty bad news recently, diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, and it's taken him off the court and really changed their life quite a bit. And unfortunately, he and his wife are going to need to sell their home in Minnesota, move to California to spend more time with the kids and the grandkids. And a GoFundMe has been started. We'd like to share that link with you, give some consideration to donating a few bucks to Brent to help with the medical and moving expenses and give some thought to Brent and his family each time you step on the court. We would all really appreciate that.
The GoFundMe link for you guys is 402p.com/Brent. 402p.com/Brent, B-R-E-N-T. And thank you for that. So Scott, a couple of weeks ago, you were there at the U.S. Open down in Florida. I was here in California at the L.A. Open. And I had a chance to watch a lot of really, really good pickleball from not only the top pros in the game that didn't happen to be at your tournament, but a lot of really, really high level 5-0, 19 plus amateurs that are at the top of their game. These are 17 to 30 year olds that all had tremendous tennis backgrounds. And I noticed something, and then I kind of kept noticing something. And that is, Scott, counter to what we've said a million times on this show, these guys and gals, we're ripping a fifth shot drive from the middle of the transition zone. So we always say, get that third shot drive. It makes that fifth shot drop a much easier ball. But what these guys were doing is absolutely shredding a drive from 4 or 5 feet inside the baseline in the middle of the transition zone, aimed at center mass of the opponents. And man, was it working. They were just overwhelming their opponents who just couldn't seem to keep track of the ball. It was flying up and they were putting it away. The points were really, really quick. And I thought, this is really interesting and I'd like to talk about this. And then the following week, I'm on a rec court at my local club, Los Cab, best pickleball club in Southern California, in my opinion. Next to me was Quang Duong, who just beat Ben Johns in singles a few weeks ago. And again, 17-year-old, former tennis, unbelievable player. player that I watched over and over hit this same shot. Mid-transition zone, super hard drive with tons of spin. And I thought, all right, if that's what's happening right now at the pro level, this is going to trickle down to the amateur level. And not only are we going to have to maybe learn the shot, not necessarily, but maybe, but we're certainly going to have to learn how to defend it. And that's why we're doing this show today.
Sounds a lot like sacrilege on this show. I am a big fan, as you guys know, of the fifth shot, cornhole style, cross-court drop, neutralize the rally, get us all up to the non-volley zone for a ritual kitchen exchange. The exception that I've offered before is if we can get that fifth ball out of the air, then I really like drilling it at the player directly in front of me. Michael, I guess what you've witnessed for numerous reasons that I'm sure you'll share is even if that fourth shot bounces, staying on the gas and maybe lessening the priority of neutralizing the rally and just going full blast.
Yeah, getting into full overwhelm mode, I think, is what the priority is. And having now faced a couple of these drives with these new Generation 3 paddles, either from Gearbox or one of the new Yolas that came out, I haven't seen a ball, first of all, hit that hard with such little effort and dip as much as these balls are able to do with this new technology. And I think that's where we need to start, which is why is this even happening? And I think it's because of the new tech of these paddles. I think the paddle technology allows you to hit the ball harder, but with also a lot more spin. Consequently, the ball is staying in the court with a harder shot than it was 3 years ago. And I think as these new paddles start taking over pickleball, which we will see by the end of the summer, I know Carbon is coming out with a couple of them. I'm sure every single company is working on their next gen paddle. It's going to change drastically, I think, in the next few months.
Well, you mentioned the young guns and the combination of young guns and emerging tech has been changing the game since I've been involved. We talked about that in one of our first episodes when searching for new paddles, how much it's changed in the new era. Well, I guess there's a new era yeah. Now combined with fantastic athletes coming from various stick and ball sport backgrounds. And now it's not just added spin thanks to raw carbon paddle faces, but perhaps some additional dwell time due to either intentional or unintentional breaking down of the core so that the ball spends a little bit more time on the paddle, that's going to produce probably a trampoline effect and added pace, but then also additional spin when that ball spends extra time on the paddle face. I'm starting to see it even in the senior game, and it's concerning, but it would be great for us to talk about especially how to defend against it and perhaps recalibrate some of our awareness of letting balls go. And, you know, maybe some of those are going to land in and others we can't even get out of the way. So it's time to recalibrate.
First and foremost, this is not a 4.2 shot or a 4.4 shot. This is a 4.75 plus shot. And I don't know what background other than tennis that this would work for. I feel like these athletes all are coming from some tennis team in some college and have just figured out a way to get the most out of these paddles. Now, that's not me saying do not try this at home. Feel free to try this at home. But wielding the same exact paddle, I may try to hit that shot, Scott, and mine will go 5 feet out. So I think the technique is everything on this particular ball. I think having impeccable swing path and snap, like we've talked about on previous episodes, is critical. Getting more Z's on this ball to get it to stay in by dipping so hard is everything. And if you don't have all of that combination of really perfect, compact swing technique combined with a nice wristy snap at the end to get all the Z's you can on the ball, I just don't think the ball is staying in the court. I think that is where we were before, which is the full above the titties, no hitties. So recalibrate, I think, is the perfect way to think about this, is that looking back behind you going, wow, that stayed in, is going to happen a little more often now than it did in previous months.
I agree. So, yeah, I mean, tennis to me has definitely been the number one on ramp for pickleball, and maybe even more so now when it comes to taming these super hot paddles.
So if you want to try this ball And, you know, again, try at your own risk. Try at your own partner's risk. The technique, we'll break the technique down. Number one, it's the most compact swing you've ever seen. Now, some of these tennis people are coming and they're doing these big roundabout windmill swings. But all we need to really focus on is the quarter swing from when the paddle is down facing the ground. So the top of the paddle is facing the ground to when it's following through. Because that whole windmill thing they're doing prior to that has nothing to do with anything. It's just a leftover from tennis. I always reference James Ignatowicz, who I think has transformed his drive over the last 2 years from a big windmill swing to a very nice compact. If you need more evidence, Jack Sock is the perfect example of what I'm talking about. If you guys go on YouTube, watch Jack Sock's drives, and he couldn't be more compact. He's a big dude, 6'2", 6'3", big guy. He's doing the most compact swing, and he's snapping so hard at the very last third of the swing, which is getting the ball to stay in the court. It's almost this counterintuitive thing where if he backed off of the snap or the swing, the ball would go 5 feet out. But because he fully commits to snapping through the ball, it really dips down into the court. And you had a chance to play on the same court with Quang Duong at Nationals last year. What was that like for you?
Well, before you leave Jack Sock, to add to the complexity of this conversation, Jack is playing with a 20 millimeter Selkirk Lux control paddle and world class, former number one ranked doubles player in tennis in the world, and has adjusted his technique, but his ability to produce force at impact is probably the greatest the game has ever seen. So he does not need a whole lot of backswing on that. Quang was also playing with a couple of different Selkirk paddles that day, including, you know, more of a control paddle because he produces so much spin. He could add pace, and it was the shape. It was like a 90 mile an hour breaking ball. And it was just very difficult to get on the sweet spot. And I think that's the advantage of this shot, is it's not just necessarily a fastball that doesn't move in the strike zone. Major league pitchers, their fastball moves. And Quang's did that with a whole lot of shape to it. I will add, and I know you'll probably mention this, but there ain't no way they're using continental grips. they're bringing over an Eastern to semi-Western grip, which presents a closed paddle face on the forehand side in particular. And with a closed paddle face, you either hit the ball into the bottom of the net or you brush up violently, producing a ton of RPMs. Add to that the paddle technology that complements that technique and you get pace and spin. So if you're anywhere near continental, I probably wouldn't try this, or maybe begin a 6-month process of moving toward Eastern forehand or semi-Western on the ball machine. And unlike one of our listeners who tried to take our advice immediately onto the court after listening to the show, you might want 1,000 to 10,000 balls on the ball machine before you give this one a go.
You mentioned before to me that Ryler has an incredible drive with incredible shape on it. And he's a big dude as well. Does he have the same kind of compact, high RPM swing?
He does. Also, super high pedigree from the ATP Tennis Tour. Took a set off Rafael Nadal at the US Open in the second round. Wow. Not a lot of people have done that. Oh. He's converted his tennis game to become a fantastic all-around pickleball player, singles, doubles, and mixed. I've had the pleasure of being his partner several times in Split Age Pro. And we had a nice run at US Open a couple of weeks ago, and I just remember giving him a couple of what we call swing thoughts, especially when the pressure was on. And I said, Ryler, if you just back off the pace on this third shot drive and adds a little bit of shape, which is still a very heavy ball, they're going to dump it into the net. They're just not going to get it in the sweet spot. And that happened repeatedly. And it was good teamwork because he can hit it 1,000 miles an hour. But it's the shape and the pace that really causes the errors, the pop-ups, the mistakes that we're looking for.
Well, for the fraction of you guys that will actually attempt this shot and try to dial it in, the majority of us need to, at the very least, know how to defend against it, because I think it's coming. I think right now it's like that interstellar tidal wave that they thought was a mountain range. I think it's coming, and I think it's going to continue to trickle down first into the rank amateur levels and then maybe even into our senior pro world, Scott, where we're seeing people really start to do the overwhelm game versus the traditional four-person ritual kitchen exchange. And we will be right back. So let's talk about first how to defend this. I can't emphasize enough. I mean, every show we talk about stable base, Scott. This is a stabler base than any stable base you've ever stabled. When you are facing somebody who's about to rip a ball and it's meant to hit you in the chest or in the stomach, they're not trying to weave through or kick a field goal, as we like to say. They're not looking for open space. They are looking for center mass. They are looking for body. So we need to be prepared with our paddle, but the big thing we need to prepare is our body. So we need our lower body to be so strong and stable. The feet are shoulder width or more apart, and we are ready to get this impact from this ball that's going to be coming in hot.
And I'll make the assumption for you guys out there that our stable base is achieved by having a well-timed split step. So we're certainly going to be ready for the shot if we've done a split step and established the stable base that Mike talks so well about. I'm going to suggest that we're going to really need to recalibrate across the board on these shots. Not only are we recalibrating on the opponent's clues and tells, we love to talk about above the titty, no hitty on this show. I think we need a new saying, because I think that ball's getting lower still will head out if we can get out of the way. Now, the previous clues that we've offered are if they take a big backswing, that's a clue that we might want to get out of the way. Well, now the ball's coming off these paddles with almost no backswing, and it's coming off hot. Yeah. So we need to be aware of that. The fact that they're closer to the net used to be a hint that there's no way they can produce enough spin if they hit it hard to get that ball to land in the court. Well, here's a big problem, and I had some firsthand experience with it last weekend. There's not time to get out of the way, even if it is going out. And I'm very good at getting out of the way of out balls. We had a Denver Iconics practice session here at Boulder Pickleball last weekend with some really fun, great new teammates. Can't wait to go to battle with them. And Reina Åkerbrand out of Utah, originally of Sweden, is playing with a Gearbox Power Pro. I think he could play with a frying pan and play really, really well. But man, he has a very compact swing. And whether he gets that ball out of the air or off the bounce, you don't know if he's going to hit a buttery drop shot or it's coming at you at 70 miles an hour. There were definitely times I couldn't get out of the way, either my body or my paddle. We all knew it was going out, but I just wasn't able to get out of the way. Hence the center mass targeting that you're talking about, Mike. He's not trying to hit me in the face. He's not trying to hurt me. But if he's going for open space and that ball's heading out, then it's going to go long. But if that ball's heading long and my body or paddle's in the way, good things happen for that player on the other side. So full on recalibration in process right now for me and everybody else is going to be on the other side of this shot with these paddles.
What were you doing with your arms and wrists when you knew that ball was coming at you?
I was split stepping, getting a stable base, getting low, preparing backhand shield, hockey goalie stance, ready to sway, shift, make sure I got a backhand on it, and then be grateful for all the pace that was on it and the most simple, compact blocking motion I could do to just hit it back toward their feet. Nothing fancier than that, because there really wasn't time.
Would you have been able to defend it as well without putting that second hand on the paddle, or would the impact have been too hard?
I did not get a second hand on the paddle. This was a one-handed hockey goalie protecting my chest with the one hand. There were probably a couple of times that I had the foresight to slide a little right and put a second hand on it, especially against his third. Fourth shots, and we talk about it being the Rodney Dangerfield of pickleball shots. The fourth shot in this game with Reina and Scott Johnston and Chad Shane, and this was a high-octane piece of rec ball going on. Fourth shots became huge because there were some just fantastic third shot dipping shapely drives. And if you didn't find some open court for your fourths, it was over. It was like shake and bake on steroids. It was very, very difficult to control those fourths. And to your point, having a second hand on there for fourths as I'm approaching was the smarter play to be able to control my fourths with that kind of pace and dip on the ball.
I do think we're in a bit of a honeymoon period with this, Scott. In that right now, the people that can actually execute this shot have a big advantage over the rest of us because we haven't caught up with how to defend it and how to move and how to recognize it and do all those kinds of things. It's almost like in the NFL, the defenses are always ahead of the offenses by a few months until everybody catches up. Right now, the fraction of players that can actually execute the shot definitely have an advantage. I was just thinking as I was saying this, I wonder if it makes sense to back off the kitchen line a little. It seems like a terrible idea, but I wonder if that's what gives you the fraction of a second more time, then maybe that's a thing. I have not experienced it. I'm just literally spitballing as I'm saying this, going, oh, maybe that could be a thing. Who knows?
Well, lately on the show, I've been talking about, you know, when you return serve, maybe not being in such a huge rush to get to the non-volley zone at the expense of a quality split step. So we'll move efficiently there. Maybe the split step is 4, 5, 6 feet away from the non-volley zone. And that at least allows us to get centered and stable and be able to handle what's coming. I talk about during the thousandth of a second split step, gathering intel. And part of the intel is what kind of pace, what kind of shape, is this backhand, forehand, where's this thing going? I think prioritizing the split step before hitting a fourth is huge, because if you're running through this shot, you have no chance. And talking about the gathering intel and the recalibrating, I've talked on this show before about using all your senses to gather intel. Like when watching your partner hit a third, turn, take an optimistic but realistic position, watch them hit the ball, but also listen to the quality of the shot coming off their paddle, make some early judgments about how good their third will be. That's the same thing here with this shot, but we've got a new problem on our hands, is some of these new paddles sound a heck of a lot different, or right. No sound. It's like, I'm just not getting the audible cue that I'm used to getting that this ball's coming in hot. Definitely happened off of Reyna's paddle a couple of times. He had that compact swing, so I really couldn't tell from the swing motion. Then there wasn't some loud sound, and then all of a sudden that ball's just on me. Yeah, that's just part of it as well. So I've had firsthand experience recently, and you know, you're kind of convincing me that this is a really important thing that we're going to need to deal with.
Well, I'm wondering if there's a bit of a keeping up with the Joneses part. I've played against the Gearbox Power and the new Yola a number of times, and every time I play against it, I am dumbfounded by how much hotter the ball is coming back at me versus what was hit towards them. And I'm like, man, it felt like he put barely any effort into this, and it's on me so fast. So I wonder if there's going to be some element of keeping up with the Joneses where if you're going to do a hands battle with these folks, do you even have a chance unless you have a newer Gen 3 paddle? That remains to be seen. So we'll see how this goes. I think we'll have that answer by the end of the summer of 2024. We're recording this right now in May of 2024. So I think these Gen 3s are just starting to hit the market, and we'll find out. But it really does feel like something is coming. And that something includes a much more dynamic, maybe more aggressive version of the game that we love. And we'll see what happens. I'm sure that the PPA and the APP, which by the way, you guys, I'm going to be playing the APP in New York City at Flushing Meadows, which I'm so excited about. Scott, I'm not sure if I've told you about it, but I'm stoked about that. We'll see what happens with all these tournaments. And when you guys start facing these people that are using these new Generation 3 paddles from all the manufacturers, you might be like, wow, all right, I may need to upgrade because this is a thing now.
I still stand behind my comments, even after this show, that for the bulk of you guys that I'm estimating are in the 3.8 to 4.3 range, if you're playing against players of similar ability with one of these paddles, they most likely lack the overall skill set to be able to keep these balls in play.
Agreed.
And your first option needs to be let out balls go out. It's not Jack Sock and Quang Dong out there.
So and drop the fifth. And drop the fifth.
Yeah.
Drop your fifth. Yeah.
And right. And if you're hitting a fourth, consider inviting them in, hitting a shorter ball. We've talked about this before. Like, don't try to keep them back and feed the beast. Drop a shorter fourth that either if they're going to continue to drive, really has no chance of staying in, or you're going to get into a four-person ritual kitchen exchange, which is probably what you want against these players. And I don't feel like you need to rush out to go get one of these right now. I think things are shaking out. Michael and I are excited to get our hands on the new carbon paddles, and we'll share with you our honest feedback there, whether or not we think that's a good move for you. I expect it will be. But don't freak out if you're across the net from these guys. It's still just 22 feet of court with a wiffle ball and a stick.
Well, if anything, Scott, it makes things more exciting. I mean, imagine that you're returning serve and you're not trying to keep them deep. Maybe you're trying to get them to come in because it's the only way you can neutralize this crazy power that they have. We could be talking about that in 6 months and go, remember when we used to return and try to hit the baseline? it could be a totally different game. It's really, really interesting what's happening in Pickleball right now. So that being said, everybody, if you happen to have one of these paddles, feel free to hit a lot of drives. Hit 10,000, see if you can get the shot together and get it on the court. If you are defending against it, you now have the tools to do so. And Scott, as always, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Michael. And thank you guys for considering tossing a few bucks to Brent Wywy's direction. We'd all really appreciate it.
We would indeed. Thanks, guys. Go have some fun in the pickleball courts. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.